We are at, today is the 12th of November, 2018. It is the Dalet Kislev, Tavshin Ayin Tes. And we are up to Halacha Day of the beginning of Parshas Baaloschav, Perek Ches, and talk about two remembrances of the menorah. We have two ideas where we talk about Zecher to the menorah, and perhaps how we should not do a Zecher to the menorah. So the first one is about Yontif that's coming up. We are already in the month of Kislev, that means Hanukkah is coming up. And one can make a case that the entire menorah lighting is Zecher to the... We could just talk about Hilchos Hanukkah today. But I don't know if Bruce would like that. So instead, we have to tie it in specifically to the menorah, and that is there is one really at least one that I could find specific aspect of the menorah of lighting the menorah on Hanukkah that is Zecher LeMikdash, and that is in the Beis HaKnesses, in the shul. The shul lighting has a Zecher LeMikdash component to it. So the whole idea of lighting in shul is a little bit unclear. Right? Why is it? So when do we light? We light in shul before, between Mincha and Marv. There's a whole section about, I saw in Rav Shmuel's Kovetz, in the Kovetz Halachos, where it quotes many of Rav Shmuel's Psakim, about what happens if it's a shul that they only daven Marv in. What about if you have a regular Marv Minyan in one's home? What about if you have a place with multiple Marv Minyanim? There are some details to this question of when you light it. And there is a little bit at stake. It's not just about lighting the menorah and using more oil, but it is also about making brachos. The idea that we make brachos on the lighting of the menorah in the shul is a little difficult to understand why that is okay, why we permit that. So let's see where the source starts. So the Tur quotes from the Sefer Mitzvos HaKatan that he writes, Shimaniach Bedelas Asmi Yechad Michetziv Shel Knisa Letzad Shmol Uveveis HaKnesses. That's not just where you put it in the order. And then he says, and in the shul Manichim Bidarom, that usually you place it to the left of the door, right? The mezuzah is on the right and the menorah is on the left. But in a shul, you put it on the southern wall. Why? Zecher leMenorah Shehaisa B'Darom, as a remembrance to the menorah that is in the south. Is there a map? Is there a map there of the layout of the temple?
Yeah.
Where is that? It's up here?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not up there.
Oh, we have a... Inside by your... perfect. Okay. Great. Well, not so perfect. That's kind of far away. But here we go.
All right.
So here we go, right? West, south. It's really... Well, better. Yeah. West, south, north, and east. Right? So the west, the Kotel is over here. Right? So Kotel is behind the Kodesh.
It's totally upside and, down. So west is always that way.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
So odd. Okay. Just all the writing is upside down. All right. But anyways, here's the Aron. And here is the, inside is the altar in the middle, and the Shulchan over here, and the menorah over here. So the menorah is on the southern wall of the Heichal. So as a way of remembering that the menorah is on the southern wall of the Heichal, when we light the menorah in Shul, we light it on the southern wall. That's what the Torah quotes from the Sefer Mitzvah Sakatan. Okay, so that's the starting point. So comes the Beis Yosef here on the side here and says, why? Where did this idea come from that we light the menorah in the shul? Is one actually fulfilling a mitzvah by doing so? So he says, well, he gives two reasons why we light in shul. Nira, number one, shetiknu kein bifnei ha'orchim she'in lehem bayis lahadlik bo, that we light it for the guests where they, for those that don't have a place to stay, I mean those that will be sleeping in the shul or something like that. So therefore, because there might be guests there, therefore we light there always, so that if there are people there, they could be well, could they be Yotze that way or not? It sounds like one would actually, for those guests, be able to be Yotze with that lighting that is taking place in the shul. What else do we do in that way? That we do something in shul because there may be guests sometimes, or we'll do it all the time, for just to keep in mind that. Kiddush, right. Kiddush in shul Friday night. So the minhag in most shuls, even though it also has this whole halachic literature of this seems like kind of a strange thing to do, and is anyone actually Yotze this way? But that's what the Beis Yosef compares it to. He says, yeah, like Kiddush in shul. Fine. Havdalah as well. Havdalah you're a little better off doing because you can actually be Yotze Havdalah in shul.
So you can get home.
What?
So you can drive home.
Well, you daven Ma'ariv, it's not really to get you home, but I mean, you can get home with just daven Ma'ariv or just saying Baruch Amav Devil Kolosh Shalchol. One could actually be, there's no idea that you have to make Havdalah where you're having your meal. By Kiddush, there is. So even if the Swoles would decide that we want to be Yotzi Kiddush and Shul in order to save on grape juice, so that would not be okay. We'd not be able to, so unless you were going to eat at Shul, you wouldn't be able to be Yotzi in that way. Okay? That's idea number one. And idea number two, v'chein chasav akol v'chasav otam acher, shu kedei lefarsem hanes, in order to publicize the miracle, v'vnei kol ha'am ulesader habrachos lifneihem, v'sheish bazeh pirsum gadol, in order to have a greater pirsume nisa, la'ashem yisparach v'kiddush shemo, k'divarchin l'su b'makalos. In order to, and we have a greater kiddush Hashem by doing it in public. Okay, but that has to be part of the takana. We can't just decide, oh, well, now we're going to go ahead and do it again. And do it in front of a lot of people. All right, this is, by the way, the source, the whole controversy about like Chabad Hanukkah ceremonies that they do out in the middle of nowhere. So there are many poskim that are very much against it. They have a Mesorah, they have their Mesorah to do it, but there are many against it, because who says that you can just gather a lot of people together and light a menorah? The lach of a menorah is that it's lit in the house. So zel lashon harivash b'tshuva, that a minag hazel lahadlik b'veis haknesses minag vasikin, it's an old minag, mishum pirsumei nisa. Why? Kivin she'ein anu yichol l'kayim ha-mitzvah ketikuna, lahadlik kol echad b'pesach b'esum b'chutz. Because we don't actually fulfill the mitzvah as one is supposed to. What is he referring to? What is the idea that we, how do we not fulfill the mitzvah like one is supposed to? So if one, where you soon probably learn as children, right, that we light, that one should light the menorah in their doorway, right, on their door coming in. So do we do that? So in Chutz Laaretz, generally not. Even those that have the outdoor cases and stuff, so many poskim assume that one should do it inside. That's a distinction between lighting menorah in there in Chutz Laaretz and in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you light outside by the doorways, but by Chutz Laaretz we don't. There's an old-time fear of danger, of what are the non-Jews going to say? They're going to walk by, they're going to see a menorah, they're going to get all insulted. So the real halacha that we do is light inside. So the Beis Yosef says, so if that's the case, or really quoting the Rivash, so if that's the case, we have lost a major component of Hanukkah. We've lost the public aspect of it because we don't light outside anymore. And perhaps that is the genesis of the custom of lighting menorah in shul. That way we do gain this public component as well.
If they have prime, not to shake the goyim off.
Right.
It's a general, I got
this way we get publicity, but it's not public publicity, right? So if the Shiyata was to keep, and he said, because the nation of the world have a strong hand against us, and we make a bracha on this, like we make a bracha on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. That's his paradigm. That Hallel of Rosh Chodesh is a minug that we is sort of patterned after other Hallels, but there's really no halacha to say Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. It's a minug, and that leads to the question of making a bracha on a minug. So too here. Now, Sfardim don't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh in their when they write for Hallel, but I assume they do make the bracha here. I mean, the Beis Yosef, ooh, I don't know actually. The Beis Yosef doesn't. No, they do. Right. So the Beis Yosef does say that they do make the bracha, so I don't know how you distinguish. Yeah. But however, just keep in mind that lighting which takes place in the shul, nobody's yotze with, and they have to go home. And they have to light again in their house. That is the
Nobody's yotze with, but you have to make a bracha.
But you do make the, but you make a bracha, correct? So how can you do that? It sounds like, so it's, I mean. So he's suggesting it's the minhag that we have a min. I remember a couple of years ago I gave a shiur about this to Mincha Ma'ariv and Shul about making a bracha on a minhag, and the only example that like really gets tossed around in the poskim is this Rosh Chodesh halal business. So here you go, here you got a second one that you have a minhag that Klal Yisrael does and establish with a bracha. Now, is that a good idea, bad idea? I mean, Rav Soloveitchik, I think, in Nefesh HaRav is quoted as sort of lamenting the idea that they don't make, the reason why Klal Yisrael became lenient about eating in the Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres, those that have such, those that claim such leniencies, he says because there's no bracha on it. if there would be a bracha on it, nobody. But it was established as we're going to eat in the sukkah and not make a bracha, and that opened the door for there to be leniency. So in order to maintain this minute, if we didn't make a bracha on it, we probably wouldn't take it as seriously. So that is it's just a sociological observation, not necessarily a halachic observation.
So we should, it would be better if they would say the shape of sukkah and shmini atzeres.
The Gemara tells us that in Chutzlaris you should eat in the sukkah and shmini atzeres and not make a bracha on it. So Salvechik is pointing out the sociological phenomenon that there are many that don't have the minhag of eating in the sukkah and shmini atzeres, right? With, you know, I'm not judging one way or another. I mean, I do judge, but right now I'm not judging one way or another. And he suggested that the reason for that sociological phenomenon that all of a sudden this people became so lenient on is because you don't make a bracha on it. That was his sociological ha'ara.
Right,
okay, fine. So all of that is item number one. There we have the minhag of lighting a menorah in the Beis HaKnesses on Hanukkah. Then the Beis Yosef jumps in and says, oh, and then what about this other thing about lighting on the southern wall, right? The minhag in shul is to light on the southern wall. So why is that? So the Truma Sedeshin has that. Kasev sheish mekomos shemisadrim osam bein mizrach lamarav umekomos acher misadrim osam bein safal ladarum. So everybody agrees that it needs to be in the southern wall because that's where the menorah was. However, the Truma Sedeshin observes that there's different practices about which direction should it go. Should it go flat, sort of against the southern wall, in which case you would be lighting from left to right, if it's against the southern wall, that means you're lighting from east to west. Right, you'd be lighting along east to west, or should it be southern wall and perpendicular to the southern wall, in which case you would light from north to south. Right, so which direction should the menorah be when one puts it against the southern wall? So the Truma Sedeshin says, you know, I've actually seen different minhagim about this, that there are those that do it one way and those that do it the other way. And he suggests that this is based on a machlokas that appears in the Gemara. The Gemara in Meseches Menachos, Tzadi Chesach Beis, we'll be up to it, those that learn, any Daf Yomi people here, by the end of the week, we should be, by Thursday, I guess, we should be up to this Gemara. So there it has a daf, really, where it's trying to figure out the direction of all the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. There is a Mishnah. Mishnah earlier says, on Sadi, where is that? Mishnah, on Sadi Zion.
I have a question.
Yes.
When they said it got the Aron Kodesh on the eastern wall, right? I mean,
right.
You can build it anyway. Right. And we have a minhag, we face the Aron Kodesh. Do you always put the menorah on the southern wall, regardless of where the Aron Kodesh?
I would think so. That's a good question. Good question. I would think so.
So it could be in front of the Aron Kodesh.
What? So it could be in front of the Aron Kodesh. Right. Right. When I was in YU, so in the, now they built a new Beis Medrash since I was there, but in the, I guess what's called now as the, known now as the old Beis Medrash,
right.
The Beis Medrash, the Aron faced north. You can tell very easily because in New York everything is perpendicular, right? So it faced north, and they put the menorah
in the back.
They didn't put it in the back, but they put it towards the back. They didn't put it on the eastern side, but they put it on the. To, I guess back towards the south. So that's my Rav, not necessarily a sort of
southern wall, and it's perpendicular to the wall. Which way do you face when you're lighting it?
Which side should you be on?
Right.
Right. Okay. So hold off on that. So the Mishnah Maseches Menachos tells us, Kol Kelim Shayu B'Mikdash. The Mishnah's on Tzayv Amralev. All the Kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash, Orchan LaOrcho Shel Bayis. That their length was according to the length of the base of the Beis HaMikdash. So what I assume he means is, right, the Beis HaMikdash is going like this, so all of the kelim should be lined up along that way, in which case you would say very easily the menorah should also be lined up going from east to west, right? That seems like it should be pretty pashut. However, the Gemara says the menorah might be a exception to that rule. Why would the menorah be an exception to that rule? He says because the Aron was an exception to that rule. Possibly because the Aron is, that's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanu Rabbanim Mizrach Umarav Hayimunach, was talking about the tables. Divrei Rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the tables were north to south. What would be the reason of Rabbi? Because he learned from the menorah. Just as the menorah is east to west, so this is from east to west. And the Gemara says, well, how do you know about the menorah? Menorah gufa minalan. Plus the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk from our Perek, not from our Perek, Yaroch Oso Lifnei Hashem, that Aaron shall arrange it in front of Hashem. Miklal de kulhu lav lifnei Hashem, meaning the starting point of the lamps can't be in front of Hashem. Meaning only one of the candles would be in front of Hashem, and you're setting up from the part that was in front of Hashem towards the rest. So how does that make sense? It has to be that the menorah was perpendicular to the Ara, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, rather than flush against the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was against the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then all the candles are in lifnei Hashem. That's idea number one. V'isak, adayichel safa medar, and the Gemara says, kulunam lifnei Hashem, they're all in front of Hashem. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon says, no, my time, why are the reason the tables go from north to south? Because he learns that from the Aron. Aron tafan v'darim, afani nami tafan v'darim. So then Rebbe should also learn from the Aron. No, danu chutz mi'chutz v'in danu chutz b'fnim. Fine. Rebbe Ezra Shimon ligmar mi'menorah. So why don't you learn out from the menorah, that the menorah is perpendicular. So too the shulchan should be perpendicular. Menorah gufa. Then he responds by saying, nope. Amar lo, menorah gufa tzafon v'daron hava mincha. The menorah itself was also placed north to south. Aye, what do you do with the pasuk that he arranged the one in front of Hashem? So it gives you a whole pshat into how he arranged it, which actually gets one of the diagrams in the actual Vilna Shas. Gets one of these diagrams. He said all of the candles were, when they were arranged in the menorah, were sort of directed towards the middle, and the middle one was directed towards the back. So if you have the menorah flush against the paroches, so all of them are facing the middle, one's facing towards the back, and he says, and from there we see that the middle one is the most chashuv. Okay? So we have this machlokes, is the menorah going perpendicular to the wall, to the paroches of the Kodesh, or is it parallel to the paroches of the Kodesh? Rabbi Yehuda holds perpendicular, Rabbi Eliezer holds parallel, and comes the Trumas Hadesh and says, so there's different minhagim about how to place the aron in the shul, the menorah in the shul. Should it be perpendicular to the southern wall, or should it be parallel to the southern wall? And he says, and that lines up with the... no pun intended, but that lines up with this machlokas, right? Some would place it perpendicular to the southern wall, and some would place it parallel to the southern wall. Okay, so
really close to it too.
What?
Really close.
So it could be a little bit off, and in fact I saw the Mishnah Berurah, I think, make the comment that the best thing to do is actually when you light it to get behind the menorah. Now I don't think anybody, most shuls don't have that, most of them are putting a wall against table against the wall, but that's his suggestion. I'm not sure why. I don't know if I understand why either, because I don't think that's the way we understand that the Kohen Gadol lit it. The Kohen lit it from the front side, so I'm not sure where that came from. I did see that mentioned, I just didn't hopefully we'll figure that out by the time Hanukkah comes along.
So the menorah is on the south wall, and
right?
You go behind the menorah and light it?
That seemed to be the suggestion I saw. Yeah. So, but I never actually saw it in practice. So, yeah. So we'll have to work on that.
Was that wall was a curtain? That wall was a curtain, right?
No. The southern wall was a curtain. Uh-huh. The western wall was a curtain. That was the parochas.
That's not where the menorah is not close to that.
Well, it is. It's in that corner. It's in the southwestern corner, but it's known as being on the south side as opposed to the shulchan, which is on the north side. So as a remembrance of that, we put it on the south side.
If it's windy, and the things are...
Well, we're talking about lighting inside. We're not talking about lighting outside.
No, okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The
curtains
are anchors. They're not supposed to be blowing the breeze.
Oh. I'm just exaggerating the point.
Okay, so all right, so that's interesting. So Trumas Hadesh says, that's the machlokas as to which direction you should light the menorah. The problem is, the Trumas Hadesh says, and the Beis Yosef then builds upon, is we should have an easy way of paskening that shaila. right? Because who are the two opinions that we're talking about? It's a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi. Rabbi is the one who holds parallel to the southern wall, like we're used to seeing in all the pictures. And Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds perpendicular to the southern wall and parallel to the parochas, right? So how do we paskin that machlokas? So there is, we don't even have to, in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, there's like a 30-page entry under halacha where it goes through every permutation of a machlokas in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, and tells you how we paskin in that in that scenario. So we don't have to go there, because many of those are actually found in the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin goes through a bunch of these permutations and says how we paskin in these types of prominent machlokasim. And the Gemara tells you how you paskin in this prominent machlokas. It tells you, you paskin like Rebbe over Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon. Right? So how should we, Rebbe is the one who holds parallel to the southern wall, like it appears in this picture, sort of. And Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon holds perpendicular to the southern wall, parallel to the parochas. So it should be pretty obvious how we would paskin, right? So why is there different people doing different minhagim? Because there is one very, very, very prominent Rishon that for some reason paskins like Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon, and who do you think that might be? The Rambam. The Rambam, right? The Rambam, for some reason, paskins like Rebbe Eliezer, paskins like Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon on this Gemara. The Kesef Mishnah, the commentary on the side of the Mishnah Torah, raises this issue, scratches his head, says, I don't know why the Rambam is paskining in this particular way. It seems to be against the Gemara. And the in fact, elsewhere, the Rambam, when there are machlokas in between Rebbe and Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon, he paskins like Rebbe, not like Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon. So we kind of shrug our shoulders and say, okay, I don't know, that's just one of these sheets of the Rambam. I looked in the back of the of the Frankel Rambam, I took a look at the index. It's one of these like really thick lists of Meir Makomos of people that deal with this issue. I opened one of them. It just pointed out the issue. It didn't deal with the issue. So I don't have an answer for the Rambam. But how do we paskin on that? How do we? How should us paskin like that? So the true. So the. The Beis Yosef concludes by saying that the minhag that most people do is to establish them on the southern wall and to set it up as well going from east to west along the southern wall, which is probably what most of us in Beth HaMedrash, that's the way it's set up, east to west along along the southern wall. There is an interesting the Magen Avraham actually comments. But the Trumas HaDeshen actually, in his conclusion, said, you know, those line up, and most paskin this way. But, you know, everybody can paskin the way they see, right? V'nara, nara, upashte, right? Whatever it's spread out. If you have an opinion to paskin like the Rambam, so you continue on paskining, seemingly he says paskin like the Rambam. So in the Magen Avraham, on that line in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham says that, quotes from the I forget, Marshall, somebody says that you should change the minhag. Nobody knows where this ride the Rambam paskin is that way, and everyone else paskins against him. So you should, everybody, even if you had a minhag right perpendicular to the southern wall, you should change it. Just turn the menorah the next year and do it east to west. But then the Magen Avraham says no, but they have what to rely on. Who they have what to rely on? The Rambam, right? So I don't know if anybody actually does that today, but it is an interesting. Case of halachic, you know, how do we bring down halacha when you have a Gemara and you seem to that the Gemara seems like which passing this way and the Rambam passing another way? How does that actually play out? Halacha l'maisa, do we acknowledge the Rambam or do we not at all? Okay. Yeah.
The order of that, you put the candles in from right to left and the light from left to right. What if it's in the
right, okay.
That's right, what I do.
Yes.
But it matters whether you're in front of or behind.
That's the right. Door, that's right.
Particularly if it's
perfect. Right, so I assume we're assuming it's the southern wall.
It's the front. It's in the north.
Right, it's from the congregation's perspective, yeah.
Congregations in front of the menorah.
Right. However, that does seem that it might be against the way the menorah was lit in the Beis HaMikdash. It is true. Beis HaMikdash may have been set up the other way. In fact, maybe when one sets it up, you would set it up right to left, in order, because that's what it seems like from the Psukim, that Aaron would set it up. You would set up with the one closest to the Paroches, and then setting up away. But I didn't see a further discussion along those lines. There is, I noticed, an interesting Torah to me, where the Torah to me seems to it seems to be a sifra that seems to be going according with, which might explain why the Rambam has a sheet in that way. That there is a sifra that seems to allude to the sheet of the Rambam, pretty much, meaning that you're you light in the middle and light out from there, which would imply that you're going with the side that it's perpendicular to the southern wall against the Paroches, because that's the shita that holds you light in the middle. So the Vilna Gaon actually changes the gear, so it can't be that that's what it means. But it could be that that Sifra, I was thinking, maybe it would be a source for the Rambam, that even though there's a Machlokas in the Gemara, so if there's an additional source another way, the Rambam, that might draw the Rambam's Psak to be the other way.
How about you bring it out? I mean, the earlier Rishonim, they were all,
I don't know, the Rif probably doesn't quote it. The Rambam doesn't quote it either. The Rambam's not talking about, to make this clear, the Rambam is not talking about lighting in Shul on Hanukkah night. I'm talking about the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, when he lays out the direction of the way the Beis HaMikdash was set up. So the Rif doesn't comment on that. That's a non-halacha l'maisa section, so therefore the Rif's not commenting on it, only the Rambam is commenting on it. Alright, we're out of time, but I just mentioned the other topic I was going to cover. I don't think this will take the whole time, but another issue is the menorah. Can one make a menorah like it's done in the Beis HaMikdash, that a seven-branch candelabra, is such a thing permissible or not permissible in today's day and age? There is a prohibition. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah not to make our houses, or not to make kelim that are the same as those in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a shuvah from Rav Moshe about making models of the Mishkan. Is that a violation of that din, or is it not a violation of that din? I guess I'll have to save that for another time.
Okay, we save it for next time.
Next time, we're on to Musar Day already next time. But, Rav Moshe's point is that it needs to be to scale in order for it to be an issue.
Don't we have to know first, according to the Rambam, I don't know, are the branches straight or are they curved?
It may be, but it's probably not ma'akev whether they're straight or whether they're curved. I mean, the menorah is probably, Rav Moshe actually talks about that. Yeah. He says that the idea that menorah has to be a certain height. The Gemara then comments that you can't, that while a seven branch candelabra would be a problem, nine branches is okay and six branches is okay, etc. So what about if it's a different height? So which says, well, the height of the menorah might not have been ma'akiv. And how about the amount of oil that it was had to hell? Well, maybe that also wasn't ma'akiv. So that's why it picks on the amount of branches. To scale would perhaps not be a problem. It's to do something that actually could be yotze would be a problem. So, all right, let's stop here.